Ladies and gentlemen, after a brief hiatus, a siesta of sorts, we are back in the land of Barovia, specifically the town of Valaki, for this, another episode of PZ85 Plays the Curse of Strahd on the Pondzilla 1985 Network. I am your Game Master, Cody Sandusky. Thank you for joining us on this episode, and with me tonight is our humble cast of characters, and let us start from my top, the man who is mobile across areas unknown on the west side of this country. It is Kaz playing Bjorn the Bloodhunter.
Hello, hello, hello.
The most dapper man of the entire group tonight, at least if appearances are to be believed, he is Rasmus Thomason, our resident paladin cleric. Paladin. Clerics are hard. That's double H.
No, you had it right. I was a cleric.
Damn it. Characters are
the
hard.
Other one, the last
yeah, the
one
other
is
one.
Paladin.
Yeah, the other
not
one's
only
paladin.
Do I have a nice shirt here. New glasses, too. Y'all ain't say nothing about my new glasses. I'm mad as hell.
I like that anyway. Red on the inside. That's nice.
Yeah, these are the sport edition because I play lots of sports, Cody.
The athletic one. I'll change that for the next intro. Next is someone who knows a thing or two about athletic apparel and things therein. It is our resident Air Ganassi. It's Lindsay Wolfgang.
I'd rather play with glitter paint.
That makes one of us because your boy hates glitter. Coming from the basement of a church somewhere in the midwestern part of this country, it is the man himself playing Old Red, the Coonhound Dog. It is Tanner Calvert.
The blue is this, that's the reflection of the water from the baptism.
That's right, exactly. You got to set that ambiance. And
you almost had him without a shirt, too. That would have been an extra layer.
We almost had shirtless man himself.
The amount
which,
of blue
you know,
that would be reflecting to the camera from my pasty.
That's what the Patreon's coming back for. That's going to be your $3 tier. Shirtless Tanner Calvert. And for the man that if he peed his pants and if it was cool, he'd be Miles Davis. It's our creator, co-owner of Podzilla 1985, whatever the hell he wants to be today, Shannon Young.
Tanner.
That's a botch job. You botched that one.
I did real bad. I hate club.
I thought hate club was dead, Cody.
Justice Payne. So coming back from our brief hiatus when last we saw this band of travelers, they had entered into the confines of the Blue Water Inn to meet Irwin and Danica, the two owners of this establishment. And when last we had disembarked from Valaki, these characters were hosting a toast or lifting a toast to Irwin and Danica for their kindness and their receptiveness into what has already proved to be a peculiar place, Valaki. Remember, friends, all will be well. All is well, as was recounted a few times from our friend Aiden. Catch everybody up to speed. I think everybody was in the room and kind of getting themselves into the airs. Bjorn, you'd thrown a coin or two at a couple of people who had adeptly caught them. Let's see. Rasmus, I think you caught the second coin and made sure it was properly handed off. You had been lifting for the toast. Yes, Aiden may or may not have fallen through a table, either intentionally or with a Ric Flair flop, trying to do a song and dance to commemorate all being well. Hmm. Old Red is, he's also there. And I believe Zephra and Irina were both maybe making themselves a little less known. They're there, but not necessarily speaking up quite as much in the cacophony caused by their fellow traveling mates. I have that scene about right for everybody.
I mean,
yeah,
Red,
I keep thinking.
Red's
that's what it is.
Red's probably got an animal in his arms somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, his furious soup.
Yeah, you had a rabbit.
He kept picking up food.
Oh, I did have a soup.
He went on a rabbit doing that thing.
Don't worry. Irwin brought beet soup, so you can have more. Or you can pick it up from some other table. It's fine. So before we get back into where we left off, does anybody have any questions or concerns, of which I probably have several, but I don't recall?
That's him.
Cass just goes, that's him.
All right, we're doing great.
Going to freedom.
I hate that full GIF is on here.
Hey, you know what I had to type in, Tanner?
Dancing raccoon?
No, I just typed in Tanner. And it came right up. and there he goes. And he's back.
Well,
Tanner, when the GIF is playing, you don't have to leave and participate in it. It happens whether you're there or not.
Yeah, the step-toe into freedom will always continue. It does not stop. It is no respecter of persons.
Step-toe to freedom.
Shannon.
Tanner.
Tanner.
All right, hang so on, Shannon the Pokemon.
It's not.
It's not.
Oh, was that funny?
No, that's funny.
All right, get that out of our system now.
Yeah, I'm about to say, I was burning through it.
Not Bic. Not Beesh.
Not Beesh, Mr. Bic.
That's right. Okay, so sans raccoon, because I don't believe we have found any of those in Vallaki as of yet. I mean, the night is still it's getting less young. Again, Erwin and Danica have brought out, well, specifically Erwin. Danica pointed out to you at the end of the last session, the early part of conversation, that were it up to her husband's druthers, it would be less of a business or an establishment and more of a housing, a free hostel or a free landing spot for travelers and visitors. So, at least as it stands, I believe you've paid with the gold coins that Bloodhunter McGee has thrown at people wantonly throughout this, beginning excursion into Vallaki. But as Red Dragon Crush is presented to you, again, Erwin bringing out tankards of wine to each of you, again, to kind of re-up from where you had been. How is the party kind of taking this? How are all of you perceiving these, at least so far, kind people who are taking you in, giving you wine and beet soup?
Just for flavor country, just to explain my own predicament.
It's a big country.
Aiden has drunk so much that his head is splitting and he is very quiet in the corner nursing his glass.
I mean, he did also bust ass through a table, so I would certainly get both for pride and physical well-being kind of making himself sparse.
He definitely busted ass, that's for sure.
Did you roll for that?
He did. That's what happened.
That's exactly what happened.
I'm trying to remember if that was just a part of it or if he rolled and it went wonderfully.
It's like the skeletons.
Yeah, the roll went poorly. I don't think went well is how that went at all.
Perspective, I found it wonderful.
I think this would lend into what I mentioned last time. Raise the toast to him, and like I'll Erasmus will drink a little bit. He's not a big drinker, but I mean it's wine, like you know. So is the sacrament. Like it's not like he's not used to it. So
right.
Yeah, he'll have a glass and take his time with it.
Okay. Bjorn will drink a decent amount.
Probably doing the same thing, that she'll have a glass, but take her time with it. Not need to get any more.
Okay.
As he went to hand Red one, he already had a tankard. Don't know where he got it from, but Red's just picking things up randomly as he finds it.
Yeah, you do that, and actually because we have a couple of those dots kind of spursed throughout the bar, you may have a quick, hey, that was, you may get a bar patron frustrated for a moment, but then, you know, it'll come out in the wash.
I mean, he is 7 foot tall.
Erwin will make good, because that is what he does. Can't teach that. His name's Big Tan. No. I was going to call him Big Red, but that's probably going to be sued by Wrigley or Mars or whomever owns that now. So Aiden's in the corner. Rasmus, you're doing well to nurse yours slowly but surely. But as Erwin and Danica kind of settle in after the burst of excitement or the burst of visitors laid upon the night, Erwin will settle in from the toast and kind of survey the group as I smack my microphone. That makes for good audio, kids, remember. Erwin's going to survey the room and just ask him openly, what has brought you to Vallaki? You clearly have a bit more energy about you than many that we see around these parts, as he kind of chuckles and gestures to Aiden wherever he may be hiding among the splinters. But clearly you would have to have a purpose to be here, or at least most tend to that come through Vallaki. What brings you to this place?
Well, aside from our escort duties, I myself am on the search for stories of the macabre for a patron of mine.
All of those words seem to pique Erwin's interest, but even more so Danica. She kind of peers over the bar a little bit as she's kind of tending to what's, there to be cleaned up, and says, storyteller, patron. I believe you have a life well lived.
I have several that help aid my way of living.
She kind of gives a smile and says, while you see me as I am now, bartender and account keeper for the tavern, I do dabble around stories myself, at least in Barovia. I can't say I roam, but I may have picked up information from time to time. She kind of gives you a little smirk.
I'll give her a smile back on it, but I'm not going to press the issues as that we're all still just kind of whining and dining at the moment.
Yeah. So Erwin kind of tips to that and says, I believe you will, you and Danica may share tale quite well. She is partial to picking up the scuttlebutt of this region all the same. But that's of one of you. Do all of you band about seeking stories, or do you have other work to be done here?
No stories for me, but I am looking for creatures to exterminate.
Okay. Looking for creatures to exterminate.
Somebody saw a cockroach up on 12.
Bite your freaking head off, man. Erwin is going to look at you and ask if you're some kind of cosmonaut, but more to the point, he's going to ask. That's very explicit. Pray tell, what you seek to eliminate?
Anything unnatural that brings grief and illness to this area.
Sparing the citizens or sparing yourself?
Both.
Erwin just gestures at everything.
Kaz, give me a perception check.
I'd be happy to kill everything for you. Perception?
Yeah, give me just a plain perception check.
All right, that's going to be this one. Oh, nope. Hold on, where is it? There it is.
Why dice are work? Hard.
I want a normal dice. Did that work?
Yes.
It did. Yeah, worked a strong word. It did create a roll, but four is that. Okay. You don't notice much toward Erwin in his kind of demeanor. You kind of look to maybe get a read on what he thinks of you being so brazen as to your action or your desired activity. And you don't see anything cross his visage or his appearance to really indicate anything other than just banal curiosity at, again, someone being so open. He will respond to you and say, I would caution, doing that inside of the walls of Falaki. As I'm sure you all know in your travels through Barovia, outside the walls is not very safe, especially at night. And the town guard don't take kindly to attacking other things.
You're still standing.
Seems like the town guard don't take kindly to much of anything here.
They sound like they bring you grief or perhaps illness.
Erwin will acknowledge, take a look at you specifically, Bjorn, to kind of like, almost like that Jonah Hill, like, don't do that bit. But yeah, kind of get that cross, and maybe not. But he does begin to speak as both of you kind of pick up on that. The town guard are overbearing, though I blame the individuals less than I do the
institution.
Hierarchy. The institution. We'll go with institution.
Don't all boots.
It is, as you may not have seen entering so late, but as you will likely see if any time you spend here in Valaki, this town is very rigorous, very strenuous in its rules and the keeping of them. Mm-hmm. Nary.
Now why is that?
He kind of looks around, kind of surveys the room. just kind of you get the feeling just on intuition that it's he's trying to make sure no prying ears are in earshot. Mm-hmm. The Baron is very intentional about maintaining what he conveys to be the status quo. Danica gives a chuckle and says, he desires to put a fresh coat of paint on the shit that can be this place. Erwin kind of looks around.
I give a chuckle at that.
He kind of looks at his wife and says, Danica, guests. And she, picking up on your chuckle, Zephyr, kind of gives a smile and a shrug of, someone had to say it. Erwin says, be that as it may, in terms of directness or bluntness of my lovely wife, it is a facade he wishes to maintain. If everyone speaks the words, all is well. If everyone puts on the smiling face, then surely the devil will not make himself known here, though, as he kind of gestures vaguely, it doesn't seem that happiness comes in true supply here often outside of what I try to make inside of these walls for myself and my own. He looks and kind of thinks about it for a second. Again, maybe being cautious of his, being very selective about his words. But before he can get it out, Danica just again lays it plain. The Baron thinks that if happiness is here, then she kind of looks across the room at you guys. The devil won't come here. He believes it to be some kind of unspoken pact he has with the devil. If this place is maintained of uplifted spirit, then nothing can burden the people. I treat it to mean that as long as people are buying into the garbage of all is well, no one looks too deeply to question what isn't under the surface.
I would like to know what's under the surface.
At some point in time, I guess this would be a decent time for Rasmus to kind of tangentially mention where he comes from, like his you know, the call of Ilmater, who he follows, and why he does what he does, and to tack on to the end of that. So really my only reason for being here was a calling. These two things are starting to feel very related.
Both Erwin and Danica look at you and say, we can't say we subscribe to Ilmater, as you put it, or to the Morning Lord, but we understand the concept of working for something higher than yourself, whether it be altruistic or simply to assist in those lives that you encounter. You pick up that you, maybe not being plainly said, but they too have someone, some entity from which they find calling, I guess is the best way to place it.
Okay. I don't have any more, not to go full out of character here, but I don't know about you guys. I don't have any more questions for them, like in the moment. I'm still kind of trying to figure these people out.
Like, Bjorn's ready to just kind of like walk out. And
you gonna walk out into the middle of the night for the place that we paid up to stay that night?
Yeah, go find that town guard again.
I want to go find that town guard and be like, "Hey, why are you causing grief?"
You let me know how that goes. I'm gonna go to bed at some point, anyway. Not necessarily immediately, but like last I recall, it was late in the evening, and we had paid up for rooms. So,
but no, Bjorn stepping out front because I'm assuming this is a no smoking area. So I'm just gonna have one out on the porch.
Okay,
going to Flavor Country.
Going to Flavor Country.
It's a big country,
wide open spaces.
Watching the woods for things. Go bumping tonight.
I guess okay. At some point in time, unless I got it wrong, I don't think they ever really told us their story about how they got there. So I certainly don't want to be rude. I would ask like how they came to be here and how they got together and came to own the inn and all that.
Yeah. They, again, Erwin not being terribly shy, being open, he'll mention to you that, yes, my wife and I own this inn. It is... It's a family business, or at least one that has been within my family, the Mardikovs, for multiple generations. We also, well, other family members, he kind of gives a pause, also own an establishment outside of Valaki, the Wizard of Wines. My family has held the land and the vineyard for many generations, though, and maybe for the first time you see him get a little bit tense, though... The relationship there has been less than stellar. In fact, I pray that you enjoy the Red Dragon Crush, for it is the last of the Red Dragon Crush in our storerooms.
What's happened there?
It's a good strain.
I won't speak because I do not know of your relations in your lives, but fathers and sons can often butt heads and feel differently about how to conduct themselves or handle their lives. And I, my father and I are a bit of an impasse, if you will.
I give Irina a look. Like, you know something about that, don't you?
I kind of scoff also, like, parents, entire families, you know.
Irina.
Parents just don't understand.
That's right. Irina gives a small smile, maybe the first one you've gotten out of her in the last little bit, as she's just kind of been observing nearby.
I should have described it as a Jim from The Office look. Like, he says that, and you just look at her like...
She does. She says, forgive me for my putting on in this situation, but I do recall from my father, the former burgomaster of Barovia, that Davian could be a bit grumpy and quirky. And you see for a moment kind of a pause in Erwin, and then kind of cracks a smile and a brief chuckle and says, yes, my father is certainly that. He can be, oh, dare I say, crotchety at times. But the vineyard, the winery is his precious. Even more so than his children from time to time. That is the gem of his eye. And when the gem is disrespected, or the person polishing the gem is disrespected, or believes themselves to be, well, let's just say the fruits of labor don't always get distributed. Danica, you can see maybe looking a little more pressed in this situation. She's very much seeing this, if you could kind of maybe read between the lines, she's seeing it both for being the spouse of Erwin and thus being kind of caught in that side, but also as the bookkeeper of the tavern, having supply of one of your primary goods not being in ready availability is a little bit problematic.
I guess at some point in time I would, whether I explicitly say as much or not, trend toward, you know, well, would he be receptive to I don't want to call it outside interference, but, you know, you've done us a pretty nice service here. Is there something that we could do to mediate? Can we, you know, serve as arbitrators or something like that?
As simple as couriers, if it's on our way, we could pick some up and drop it back off.
Sure.
He does contemplate this for a moment, and you may wonder whether or not this is just the wine settling in for himself or just maybe thinking over this thought, but he does acknowledge that kindness is appreciated. We may speak of this in the morning if you do belabor here in Valaki, but if you find yourselves willing, there may be cause to seek out the winery. While, of course, being a son and... at this point, one of the younger sons of the family, butting heads with the father is certainly to be seen. I feel that this is a little more difficult than normal estrangements. I don't feel that it is just familial bickering. And Danica quickly pops in and says, well, it doesn't take much, one being the second born son, and also the one who left the land to run an inn. You and your father have had loggerheads about this before, and Erwin kind of nods and says, yes, yes, I understand. This was the less appreciated portion of things that could be done. Dealing with people is not what he wished. He'd rather deal with the land, but I like people, what can I say? I'd rather see them than see the grapes.
Left a little bit of that, and with what's left of whatever I got in that cup, say, oh man, they're pretty good grapes.
The Wizard of Wine kind of
pokes his head back in from outside with his cup in the air, like, yeah, agreed.
Yep. Wizard of Wines is a moniker well earned. I will give him and the family credit for that.
I think, like, and Bjorn kind of, when he walks in, he kind of looks to the left, looks at the table, and notices that Red must have passed out, like, got too fucking hammered. And just, he's laid out on the table over there, and I give him a push, and he kind of falls off and into the floor.
I love laid out because the man's probably the size of a table and a half.
Yeah.
It's not like, it's like a high schooler falling asleep at a grade school kid's desk, which they probably envelope the whole thing.
I would say we should carry him upstairs, but honestly, it's probably better we just throw a blanket over him and just
I just get like not even a blanket because there's not a blanket around. We just grab like a napkin from like one of the tables and just put it on his shoulder.
Whatever's laying there, man. You know,
Danica and Erwin. Danica specifically will note.
Like, I got a Sharpie.
Yeah, Danica will specifically note. I will make sure your friend is here until we tend to what is left and close up for the night. I will note, however, that, and she looks at Erwin and says, honestly, I'm surprised we haven't seen them yet. Brahm and Bray may not be so kind in the morning if he's still laying here.
And who might they be?
Erwin says, those are our two sons. Brahm is 10, Bray is 7, and while I'm not always partial to the phrase, having been one, I will say it just as easily as my father. Boys will be boys, especially rambunctious ones who like to wake up early in the morning when the rest of us would like to get about a little extra sleep and cause the chaos that boys do.
That's going to be on Red for passing out at the table.
Say, I'll pat Red on the shoulder. Because there's just plenty to be padded, you know, and just say, well, this one here knows all about boys will be boys. I suspect he'll be as receptive, if not more, than your young ones.
Then may peace be with him. And if you all do wish to leave or take your leave, peace be with you all as well. And Erwin and Danica will kind of... The people that are left here are regulars. They're not making much of a stink. In fact, you probably only see like one or two left. You're kind of wrapping up shop for the night. So they would kind of walk you upstairs if I were to reveal a little more of the map to you. Not that it has much in the way of like specific bearing, but no.
Drawers.
Mystery areas revealed.
That's weird. There's a Gideon Bible in there. I don't know. The remote for the TV is there too, but it's one of those things where it's like nailed to the dead side table. So.
And the batteries are dead, so you can't change them.
You can't do anything with it.
Right. As you were to go upstairs, I will give you a little bit of a purview here. You have, from the second level, you have a view of the main floor below. So you kind of see from...
There's like a balcony, like an overhang. Right. Yeah.
I'm very sorry. Like, out of character... as you were talking about the whole TV thing, I got to remembering that this is like before TVs and whatnot. And all I could think is maybe that there's somebody in the room doing like little puppets on a cutout TV. And I paused them.
There's two little mice doing telenovelas.
Doing a Punch and Judy show in there. Yeah. And they'll stick around all night if you want. Like that's how you go to sleep. They'll make white noise for you.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. Well, now I want to play at some point in time. I want to play a bard in a game who gets hired to do ASMR. Like that's their performance skill.
Writing that down for future reference for whenever that does come up in these adventures.
They go around the ends and stuff, and they're like, you know, I'll do free room and board. Like, I'll just stay in somebody's room with them and make like jungle noises and just like, like that's how they sleep.
Just know if you do that, I'm going to make you roll performance for whale sounds if you wish to do an ocean scenescape.
Roll to make whale sound.
That's right.
That's a new one. That's a negative one, brand new sense right there.
Roll for beluga. Repeat. Roll for beluga.
Okay. Well, hang on.
Roll for beluga.
Did it to myself.
Get a new name.
I believe... Well, Tanner's is too long anyway. I'll put it there. Roll for beluga. There we go. All right. Well, that's done.
All right. Roll beluga indeed. As you were to come up, I believe it was mentioned that with the size of the party, there is a hostel-style room where there's four beds and then there's a couple offshoot rooms. So I'll just generally reveal the areas that would be available to you all.
Oh, shit.
Oh, it's up. I was looking at the bed. I'm like, you keep talking about revealing stuff. I'm not seeing anything.
Sorry. Yeah, this is a multi.
No, I got it.
Yeah, you scrolled the bit.
You're looking for the other side of the house to open up, weren't you?
Yeah, I was thinking that was the top. I got it now. I got it. Noted.
Yeah, so all of that is available to you. In terms of, like, the rooms aren't taken, but seeing as there are, by my count, six of you, if you include Irina.
I think we said at one point that we had rented the room before, like, the hostel-style room. We had filled that, and then we took one of the other, like, rooms with just the two beds.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure we had agreed that Irina and Zephyra were going to take the private room.
Yep.
I had offered to stay with Irina
downstairs, so we don't need to.
Yeah. Yeah. The boys are back in town in the hostel in there.
It's like a college dorm room all over again.
Yeah. Yep. But before we go upstairs, can I request a glass of warm water to dip Red's hand in while he's sleeping? And there he goes.
Let's see here. Everyone's agreeable to that. Yeah, he'll do that.
He's gonna wake up. We're gonna get up, and he's gonna have drank it, and be like, "Man, somebody put a glass of water by my bed. I'm so nice. My throat got dry.
I'm so tired." Oh man.
But while this is going on too, though, like while we're up in this room, I pull that like Will Smith in Men in Black when he pulls the table over to his chair. I just push two of these beds together just to make a bigger one. Yeah, they're heavy as shit. It's just screeching,
scraping on the fucking floor.
God, yeah. All right,
you know they won't fall apart. You won't fall down into the crack between them.
Yeah, you can certainly make a full size bed. Yeah, you can give that a shot. Who wants to cuddle up with you? That's up to you. But obviously, one of the beds are fair game because Red at least currently
Red's not gonna make it. Yeah,
sleeping in the car. So
if I'm pulling it together, I know there's two free. So
now I'm assuming the others are like little twin styles. I mean, God knows Rasmus basically sleeps on like a woven mat on the floor back at the temple. So you know, I mean, at this point, anything.
There's Mr. Man a whole bed.
Anything's a luxury, really.
That's right. Now, I'll presume, Aiden, you are making your way upstairs as opposed to pulling the splinters together.
I am slowly stumbling up there, holding my head from both the alcohol and the fall, and hearing the noise that Bjorn is making, I just look over at him and go, shoosh.
Thank you. I just assumed that when you addressed Aiden, the first thing he was going to say was Tanner.
Red.
That's not my name.
That boy's gone.
I for the listeners out there, I want to apologize. I am in a bad state, so I will not be entertaining this evening. But these guys have it on lock, so.
Tanner also importantly had to kind of halfway duck away, so he's sending us texts, but he is, and he's listening, but he's unable to speak right now.
Tanner's a goddamn piece of fucking shit.
Well, well, feeling like
I can only imagine what that I just heard was.
No, you can read that.
He's also pissing in his pants up there.
Yep. Get old Ralph Wiggum Red.
Hey, somebody explain to me why they put a dot by the six on the six-sided die. Were they afraid I'd get it confused with the nine?
I do. Yes, all the time.
I presume as much.
The six-sided, wow.
On the six-sided die?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, hey, man.
A uniform stamp that they use on all dice would Hunter, be what I am assuming.
Hunter, are you sure that's not a Common Core six-sided die?
I was just saying it's Math Rocks, and Math Rocks always need to make sure they're not up for interpretation.
Math Rocks.
I'll tell you who likes Math Rocks, Chaffee.
No, oh, she had math.
Oh,
math.
Oh,
math.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry.
You're not.
I mean,
are you though?
No, and that's fine. So as seemingly most of you go to take your leave into your rooms, it's without incident. Like, you know, Erwin and Danica would go up to the respective rooms. You know, if you were to acknowledge that Irina and Zephyr were going to take the one, Danica would kind of go in and make sure that everything is prepared as it should be. But you go in, Bjorn has clearly made himself quite at home, so Erwin just kind of walks out.
Bjorn,
like, well,
time.
My job's done.
He's Bjorn Star dancing.
I'm sorry.
Right, he's making himself comfortable. The accommodations are, as you noted, Rasmus, definitely not thatch bedding on a floor. Like, this is not high class. Like, I understand the Aldor, you know, the Waldorf Astoria, but you're dealing with something much better than you have been the last little bit.
Well, importantly, guests of the podcast, Cody, stay at the world famous Waldorf Astoria Hotel.
Yes.
In wonderful New York. Anyway. No, yeah, this is perfect. Not just acceptable, it's perfectly amenable. I imagine after what was a relatively grueling set of journeys here, Rasmus goes to sleep a lot easier than normal. Plus, boy got a little wine in him. That's not normal. He's not used to that. So as soon as he can shuck that armor, it's just... And boy, out.
Rasmus is treating red wine like scissor. He's just all pass the fuck out.
I'm a grip and sip.
That's right.
Now that he knows he's got a bed to lay on, he can get twerked.
That's up. It, man. What favor did I do to Ilmater today to deserve this wonderful collection of down?
That boy about to be leaning.
Oh, he leaning. He's swerving.
Num-num.
Someone said all will be well, and I took that personally.
All will be well. Dorian or Dreg?
Dorian Dre. All right. Well,
it starts with a D.
Do you mean Aiden?
Oh, it's got a D in it.
Jesus. Welcome back to Vlocky, kids. This is where we're at.
Who thought A was an initial before that? A, Din, Valmont.
All about perspective. Where do you look
He's
first?
A Mandalorian?
Mando. Oh, my God.
So the night, at least for those of you settling in, no incidents occurs as you kind of get yourselves ready for bed. There's nothing kind of untoward. Zephra, I would ask for you to give me a perception check as you are.
Okay.
We'd say probably the middle of the night, as it were. It's probably 2 or 3 a.m.
Okay. I can make that happen. If I can remember how to make the dice rolls. I have a 17.
Okay. You are kind of disturbed in your sleep, not by yourself. Like, you seem to be sleeping restfully, but as you are kind of stirred awake, you notice, even through kind of the dark of the room, Irina is fitfully sleeping. She is... if you were to kind of like reach and speak out to her, she wouldn't be responsive, but you can tell something is not restful for her. She's tossing and turning. There's like concerning groans and like gasps in her sleep. Kind of, you can tell that either she's having a massive nightmare or something, like something's on her mind. That's at the very least.
Not the type that would necessarily shake her awake, but I'll kind of keep an eye on her for a while before I drift back off to sleep myself.
Okay. Yeah, you don't, again, nothing in terms of like activity in the room for you to observe, but yeah, you kind of see more of the same. It ebbs and flows a little bit for probably the next 15, 20 minutes. She kind of, and starts and fits, and she kind of tosses and kind of maybe gives out a kind of a sudden catch of her breath, but you're able to kind of roll back over and kind of get some sleep, but you probably keep in mind that if Irina's less than rested when you wake up the next morning, there's a reason for that.
Oh, it's definitely something when she wakes up in the morning I'll ask her about.
Okay. For the rest of you, there's nothing really to observe. I will note that for those of you with dark vision, you don't see red come into the room throughout the night. So, you know, take that for what you will.
I don't see it anyway. I am asleep.
Seeing the back of your eyelids.
Harder than normal. Yeah, I mean, we had a not a forced march, but a fairly intense march. Like,
oh, yeah.
We've been having to take watches when we sleep and stuff, man.
Basically camping.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's actually that's something I didn't ask, but that is something to note. I assume that by the way you talk, no one decided to take a watch for any of this.
No, I didn't plan on it.
I'm in and
anyway.
I'm snoozing.
Okay.
I will sleep. Simply because I can't sleep because I'm in too much pain.
I got that headache.
At some point in time, the question has to be asked, like in the game or in real life?
Just go on with the game.
Go on with Star Wars. Okay, cool.
Oh.
Cool.
Oh, no.
Aiden, your passive perception is a 10, but we'll take that for this because other than maybe random noises or a snore or two coming from your roommates here in this situation, nothing out of hand happens in this. You do...
While he's asleep, I want to stare at Bjorn. I want to watch him by his bedside.
Bjorn, give me a perception check. Oh, with disadvantage. I want it with disadvantage, but go ahead and give me two rolls.
If I... Okay. Perception. That's this one. Come on now. Do your perception.
Come on now.
Oh, disadvantage, right?
Yeah. I mean, just roll two. We'll take the lesser of the two. Okay, 11. You're vaguely aware someone is watching you from time to time while you sleep. I'll leave it to you about whether or not you care enough to ask or to maybe make a point of being known that you know, but you're at least vaguely aware that someone's watching you.
So I do. I am. I see. I open up my eyes.
I see.
Put that on a fucking poster. Put it on your wall.
And I just kind of like stare right back at him for an uncomfortable amount of time. Like just enough where it gets to that awkward feeling where we're just kind of still staring and not really like unblinked. And I nod and then I go back to sleep.
You two are just Charlie and Mac and Guajinos. Just each other across the restaurant.
And I would like to point out that neither of you have dark vision and there's not a candle in this room. So y'all are just staring in the fucking dark where you assume the other is.
Now I kind of like the idea that I do wake up at some point in time and watch both of them, but I can see because I do have dark vision. And I'm just going, the hell's going on here?
You roll over and go back to bed.
The hell is that?
Oh,
oh man!
Very funny to me.
he sits all night long.
I'm going full force.
God, I can't wait for the exhaustion to kick in for like three sixths of this party. Half this party's gonna be exhausted. All right, Yeah, as like I said, Aiden and Bjorn, if you are awake in your fits of watching Aiden watching you, again, Red does not come upstairs. The boy is out.
Yeah. Tablecloth.
I think he might be dead, actually.
I think I might be dead before the night's over.
I don't think that boy's ever coming back.
Actually, Aiden, you say that, depending on how much rest or not you get. Okay.
Who are you talking to?
Aiden. I would say that, mind you, this is Barovia. The sunrise isn't really like what you expect in a normal area. But as daylight were to start maybe slowly making its appearance in the clouds, we'll do another perception check. I think it's the best thing in terms of like listening in.
What's my perception, Cody?
It's going to be a D20. In your case, it is a D20 plus 0. You're just neutral up and down.
Damn. All right. Hey, it's an 18, though.
It is. Okay.
That's good.
So,
surprisingly perceptive.
You, at least in some way, you hear a door creak open slightly. And you hear some stifled chuckles as daybreak starts to make its way.
I want to whip at that noise. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I was about to say, you're inside of a room where you're going to be whipping at the door, Bjorn. Like, what are you whipping at?
Can I see where the chuckling, what it is?
I mean, you at least know it's not in this room.
Then I want to tiptoe my way over there and quietly observe.
All right, that's gonna be a stealth check.
No.
And typically, since you didn't go to sleep, I assume you still have your chainmail on. And if that's the case, it means you got a disadvantage on this check because you're in heavy armor.
I didn't say anything because of the pain, but I would assume that I would have at least relaxed overnight and like taken off my armor and not just sat there in fucking chainmail all night.
That depends. Just whipping hand.
Just whipping hand.
Aiden wishes a motherfucker would. It's just the theme of the night for him.
One wish. You're like that suit of armor, like art in rich people's places that as a joke, it's actually a person they reach out to grab him. You just forget to, and you just stood there in the doorway all night.
I want to point out that, yes, Kaz is saying this out of character, but he says this as if y'all didn't actually face that shit like not even 3 or 4 days ago.
This is true. We kept trying to remove things from their hands.
I'm logging into D&D Beyond. I forgot. Give me 1 second. You said a stealth check?
Yeah, go ahead and give me a stealth check. So in your case, it's plus 1. We'll just ignore the disadvantage.
Cat, get off my goddamn arcade machines. Oh, my God, you stupid motherfuckers.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Why are you doing it right?
I'll put the spatula in orifices you didn't know you had.
I don't know why you do it right in front of me. Like, at least be a smart fucking idiot.
I am going to chain you to a drain pipe in the crawl space if you don't get off the shed. Now get off the shed.
Let's just say it's a failure at 9.
let's say, well, I don't know, Mo. It's not the most discreet motions that you've made. It's not that you're like crashing through the door through a table or anything, but you open the door and maybe misjudge how much noise it makes as it opens. So you kind of, as you kind of get the door open, but as you were to peek your way out, you, even with the ambient light, and let me kind of reveal from your perspective, the rest of this floor, there is another staircase that's on the opposite side. Based upon where the sound comes from, you could probably presume that it's the family that lives here making their way out of their quarters. You don't see anything on this mezzanine or kind of this raised balcony, but you do hear some footsteps going down the steps.
Um, Can I see this? Sorry, I was distracted by fucking cats again. Please.
You don't see much. If you were, you may just see like the last like of a brief shadow like casting down the staircase.
I would like to follow it.
Okay.
Stealthily. Well,
okay, I was gonna ask, like, how brazen do you want to be in this pursuit? Okay. We'll take that stealth check you gave kind of after that door opened. You can walk across the balcony. You don't have much in the way of an issue. Again, this door was likely, I guess I would say it's up to y'all whether or not it was left open. But now that you've gauged the first door opening, you probably have a better feeling for this one. So you open that. You make your way down the staircase. Curious how you're going to react, because as you come down the staircase, like you start down the step or two, if you scroll to the ground floor porch of the picture, you don't have to get down very far to notice. Red is still laying across the table, and you see two young boys kind of tiptoeing their way toward, and as siblings tend to do, kind of the muttering or whispering to each other and kind of side-eyed glances of, what do we do? Which one of us is going to do it? You do it. No, you do it. You get the vibe that something nefarious is afoot for your compatriot at the hands of two children.
I'm gonna stay and watch. I want to see them unleash.
See how this plays out.
Okay.
Shannon, please stop calling it that.
You see the two boys kind of standing there. One of them breaks toward the kitchen area and kind of sneaks in what I would say is kind of like a bar style door, like a saloon style door that swings, you know, not a full floor to ceiling. He goes back there and you may hear some light rummaging, but they're doing a fairly good job of keeping up on that. You see another one duck behind the bar, and he doesn't come out. Boy one comes out of the kitchen area with what looks like a cast iron lid and like a wooden spoon or something of that ilk.
I'm going to plug my ears and continue to watch.
Okay. Boy two comes from behind the bar with looks like two empty wine bottles.
Jesus.
You get the sense that these kids don't know what they're getting themselves into, but they just kind of want to be a part of some fun.
Cuddy, I have a quick visual illustration of at least what boy one is doing. If you'd like to take a look in the...
That's exactly what came into my mind.
I am so great. You got it. Oh, I had a picture of a Tom and Jerry cartoon in my head, but yeah, you're pretty much there. Boy one walking out of the kitchen ready to proclaim to the world.
At this point, I just want to note, like, Bjorn's stirred, like, all of this is going on, and what you see is kind of like, if you're looking from below, Aiden up over on the balcony, you just see Bjorn's head just kind of like slowly come up and over his shoulder and looking down over what's going on.
I notice this. I look at him. I give him the shush, like, finger to my lips, and then point at the boys and give him a thumbs up.
Bjorn, just real quick, give me a stealth check. This is probably more just in terms of just general silence glorious. While maneuvering around the balcony.
Oh, it's happening. Watch with this. I got.
You're good. That's pretty good. Yeah, you after hearing Aiden open the door, you kind of figured out how best to navigate that without causing any noise. So you,
I'm so stealthy that Aiden was actually shushing himself.
So you are safely observing from the balcony, Aiden from the top of the steps. And you kind of see boy two with the wine bottles. He looks to be slightly taller. So you imagine of the two that's the older one that Erwin mentioned. You kind of get you see him bounce the 3, 2, 1. Welcome to Blue Water. It's breakfast time.
Red immediately pisses himself.
Well, the table falls off the table, and so his hand is still damp. Now, see, Red rolls over. He already had, like, a bowl underneath him, so he's going to sit there like a fucking otter and eat the food that he kept underneath himself all night. He's not even in here, so he's not even listening. I won't even give Tanner the chance to react to this. It's going to be... He doesn't Matt Foley his way through the table or anything of that sort, but he certainly is caught asunder from this raucous noise. Bjorn, you, from your perspective, actually see, after a brief moment or two, the door fling open from the end of the balcony, and you see Danica kind of putting, like, tying a robe on, like, making sure she's as presentable as can be, getting ready to run down the stairs.
Someone's gonna get a whooping.
I assume at this point I'm only just now beginning to, like, stir. Like, I would definitely have heard that commotion downstairs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, there's no hiding that. All parties involved have heard the sound. Rasmus is asking, what the hell is that? Zephra, you, having known
naturally
Irina...
assuming that it's the children that she mentioned the night before, so...
Yeah, you'd probably be safe with that. Irina wakes up with a start, and she goes... She looks at you. I if you say what you just said to us, it's to me.
Oh no, I want to mockingly just say all is well.
Irina goes, boys, and kind of throws herself back, like does the head or pillow over face bit from every teen movie.
I'm gonna go ahead and get up though at that point, because
Aiden, what say you? I mean, you've observed this from a safe distance. You see Red getting accosted by sound, and I mean, you knew it was coming. How are you feeling about it?
I'm laughing and ready for coffee, please.
Well, I don't know if the boys can be trusted for that, but just as quickly as all that happens, as quick as a dash, Danica makes her way into the kitchen and says, boys! And you, for any observing parties, this isn't new. For her, Brahm and Bray, she kind of growls out those names. You suspect this is far from the first time they've done this, but maybe the first time they've had a so brazen victim available to them in a little while. So she kind of gives them, Brahm, Bray, upstairs now. And you see them kind of, Aiden, you see them, and I guess Bjorn, you as well, kind of see them dash off. Still holding the implements of their attack. They're still wielding weapons of chaos as they go upstairs. But they make their way upstairs. Danica kind of looks and says, sir, are you okay? She stops and thinks, you were here all night. She promptly leaves to go back to the kitchen. She doesn't care to ask questions right now. So, wake-up call as it is, I guess, how do you all react to hearing that cacophony and knowing, probably with some good estimation, who the victim of it was?
At some point in time, I'm going to come stumbling out, like, armor, getting, you know, back into place, cloak, and or not cloak, but, like, you know, clothes, vestments and stuff back over and go, well, I guess it's not much worse than... whatever their version of Reveille would be back in Sundbar. Not used to kids doing that, because, I mean, honestly, it's as a militaristic city, not a lot of children around, but it's
a family establishment.
Yeah, sound, especially like that early in the morning, is not totally out of the question. Raz was just not used to that deep a night's sleep either, especially not since we got here. It's the first time that I think he's been feeling like fully actually rested.
Yep.
So, yeah. I'm assuming at this point the kids are long gone, so I don't see them. So it would very much be like a somebody want to clue me in situation.
And I would certainly leave that, Bjorn. Do you wish to tell the tale of Red's fitful rest to Rasmus as he comes to, or how do you wish to handle that?
Like, for me, it's kind of one of those unspoken, like, stand by me seeing the deer things. Like, I witnessed it, and now it's mine, and it's my memory to take with me.
Okay. Good reference. I like it. Aiden, are you sharing the tale that you witnessed?
He said he would be back, so I'll speak for him. Oh, yes. There you
go. Yes.
He will tell me what is happening.
With great detail.
Snickering all the while.
Yeah. Zephra, as you kind of make your way out, if you do wish to make your way out of the room, you would notice that Irina is not getting up yet. Again, exasperated teen girl movie scene and all. You can tell she just wants more sleep. And she kind of mutters as much.
I basically shut the door quietly behind me and let her do her thing, but I'm going to head downstairs.
Okay. So the rest of you can do just that. Aiden, Bjorn, Red, Zephra. Yeah, everybody should be relatively nearby. Danica is kind of going about whatever little preparations you make, and she kind of looks stern at this point. She looks at all of you and says, "My deepest apologies, the boys." As you can imagine, Velaki does not leave much room for childlike activities, so sometimes, and she kind of glares upstairs, they get wild notions to make their own fun and make all well, as she kind of sarcastically says, as best they can. She says,
I mean, you warned us you have rambunctious kids last night, so...
She acknowledges, yes, rambunctious is a fantastic word, though I certainly hope their manners would mean it was just a word of caution rather than a word of true warning. And then she looks at Red, who is still, you know, stirring, probably a little bit more up and at it now that everything's happened, say, then again, I don't typically have 7-foot individuals sleeping in my dining area at my inn, so...
Look on the bright side. You have a reliable wake-up service. And that's something that you can use as a... That's how we turn... he wouldn't use this phrase, but that's how we turn a bug into a feature. Okay, this is... You know you're not going to oversleep at the Blue Water Inn. Pass the word along.
He sighs with kind of a deep understanding. And it kind of goes back to the kitchen area. It's very much, she's got nothing to add to that, but you probably nailed it on the head. Not too long until Erwin comes down, looking a bit disheveled, but nothing less welcoming than he was the night before. And he looks at you all, kind of surveys the room, says, "I would apologize, and believe me, I do, but looking again at Red at the table, I can't say I'm surprised. The boys rarely let an opportunity slide for a moment such as that, as I'm sure you understand." They kind of gestures to the three of you, having been young boys at some point. Playtime and chaos tend to be the word of the day for some. Mine are no exception.
There's worse things to wake up to.
Place is weird.
It's how we get to be who we are.
No regret.
Zephra, Erwin will look at you specifically because you spoke up and say, "I noticed one missing. Is our other guest doing okay?"
She wanted a little bit more sleep, so I let her be.
Okay. He doesn't seem to make a second thought of it. He says, we'll prepare nourishment for her when she is ready. Certainly, it's... He kind of gestures outside. Not bright, but it is day, so I do hope she gets some rest as it is. He looks at you, Aiden, wherever you are in the lay of the room. I assume you've come downstairs at this point.
Yes.
And asks, "So, how are you, sir? After, well, your wonderful display last night, are you feeling better?"
Better, yes, but... not great. I took a pretty nasty tumble and my head is worse for wear, that's for sure. It feels like there's so much pressure in my head, almost like sinus pressure, you know? It's It's amazingly painful.
Erwin reaches under the bar and pulls out his copy of Grey's Anatomy from 1840 and tries to thumb through and find what sinus means. But yes.
The Barovian edition of Grey's Anatomy. The gray is not a person. It's just the ever-present weather outside. That's right.
It's just pages of watercolors of gray backgrounds. The anatomy of Barovia is, yes, gray. Erwin will offer as best he can. Again, beet soup is the menu of the day. But he says, hopefully something hot and breathing that in will alleviate some of your ills, my friend. And, you know, he kind of casts the food around the room. Just doing general, unless you guys have anything specific, it's general, you know, nonchalant morning talk. Hope you slept well. You know, maybe sharing a tale about he does allude to having other siblings, kind of as was mentioned. He has, just based on what he says, two brothers and a sister. He being the third of four, he kind of casually mentions, oh, yes, myself and my siblings would pester my father much the same way. Any of the people at the vineyard, it wouldn't be a morning without, and kind of recounts the tale. You kind of.
That sounds miserable.
At some point in time, I would get. I guess I've probably talked more to Erwin than I have to Danica at this point. So I would get his attention, and I want to. I want to pull out that little. I forget. We have the little doll. I forget what the doll is. Is it just like a girl, or is it a? I want to say you said it was a little goblin doll.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to pull that out and ask him, what do you know about this Blinsky?
He looks a little amused and says, there's a Blinsky toy outside of Vallaki?
Well, there was at one point. This came from Barovia. It was in the possession of a woman. Well, possession of a girl named Gertruda. She's the daughter of a woman named Mary, and she's gone missing. This is really the only clue that we have to give any idea where she might be. We promised to help her.
Well, he notes, I can't certainly speak to a general name of Gertruda, so I apologize for not having a lead on that side. But he says, but you have come to the proper town. Blinsky's Toys is here in Vallaki. He is the toy maker. He is. He kind of hems and haws as he goes. On rough times.
Okay.
But he
not
is
selling well these days.
He kind of makes a nod specifically for that and says, "No, it seems that visitors aren't making their way to Blinsky's shop as much," and he kind of points toward the doll, because you mentioning it kind of looking like a goblin would maybe, as you kind of examine it more, it does look that way. It looks a little less inviting than you would expect a kid's toy to appear, like a girl's doll, and
yeah.
Erwin tries to kind of tap dance around it, but he says, as you can see, it's not the most welcoming of toys. Danica kind of spins around, you know, moving about the kitchen, doing all of her things, and says, yes, perish the thought that a little boy or girl doesn't want something with yellow beady eyes staring back at them in their sleep.
To be fair, the only kids that we've seen so far were playing with wine bottles and assaulting a giant man.
Like you do.
I think one had a pan, well, and two.
Is the living children that we've seen.
Erwin's going to acknowledge,
oh,
okay.
Yeah, I forgot about that one.
I'm glad you're remembering the one.
The xylophone with the bone.
Yeah, see, that's what I was thinking of, is you playing with some kids' bones.
Well, and Cody, importantly, as a little criticism for you, when they struck one of the ribs, it played the same note as the other one. Are we to believe this is some sort of magic xylophone? I sure hope somebody in your house got fired for that blunder.
Thing's broken.
Me.
But it has been two, because there was that one in the basement that we took care of, right?
Well, Hunter, you know it's kind of the same as that three-blast shotgun that Mo shoots when talking about his fly girl getting hit on. So
dragon breath.
You know. Yeah.
So basically, can he point me in the right direction of where this Blinsky
yeah.
is located?
Yeah, he would be able to kind of let you know in town. He said, yes, Blinsky's Toys is here. It being, we're in between festivals, so he is certainly available. Erwin doesn't really know how to address it, and he kind of just comes out and says, Blinsky seemed a bit off kilter. Again, as someone who aspires to make people happy and not succeeding in that, he's a bit downtrodden right now. So take that if you will when you go, if you go to see him. I would exercise caution, if only because not, and he mentions Blinsky, a large attempting to be jovial man, but jocularity and jovial mentalities have probably vacated the premises a little bit ago.
But mainly, he's just out of character. He's just the first one that comes to mind of someone we need to go and see now that we're there. I mean, at some point in time, obviously, there's issues with the Baron and all that. But, excuse me, we don't have any specific direction in terms of them. So that's one of those things we need to resolve eventually anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I know everybody kind of wanted to do a few different things. Aiden was talking about going to speak with the folks at the church of the Morning Lord, and Bjorn apparently wants to go find a lamplighter. Yeah, that's where I'd like to go.
Yeah.
All right, maybe so not necessarily now. I don't know how much we're doing tonight, but
right. But two of you want to go to Blinsky's. One of you wants to go see the Church of St. Andrel, and one of you wants to find the lamplighter.
Yes.
He had to think about it for a minute.
Red, we're not sure what he wants to do.
He must not have a concussion.
Yeah. The boys didn't strike him with these implements. Like, again, concussion's a strong word. His ears may be ringing, and that might be for half the day. Like, his senses may be impaired. But it's not like they beat him with them. It's more just making noise with them.
He's going to come back.
The first time that boy's ever had alcohol, he could be dead.
He's going to come back next week and tell us that somehow he produced a magical pair of earmuffs that came out of nowhere, and so he didn't actually hear any of that.
Yeah, he's still sleeping to this day. He is still there.
once we get breakfast,
Rip Van Winkle,
stuff,
get my stories mixed up.
I think we paid up for like the week with them, didn't we? Wasn't that the idea?
Yeah,
was that we planned for an extended stay? All right, cool. Well, once we get breakfast and all that, I'd like to trek over to Blinsky's again, whether we're doing that tonight or not. That's where I'd like to make my way downtown, Cody.
Yeah,
that wasn't a hamburger dude, was it?
Yeah,
the hamburger dude.
Yeah, so.
There was a burger thing.
What are you talking about? Yeah, I'm lost, buddy.
Burger.
I mean, first of all, I got to go change somebody's name to the burger thing now.
Burgermeister? The Baron?
Yeah.
The Burgermeister Meisterburger.
The Hamburger Man.
All right, well, excuse me. I have to rewrite this entire game to make Ray Kroc the character that created McDonald's the franchise. He's the new big bad. Michael Keaton.
We're gonna rename Red into Grimace. <He's>
Muscular Grimace.
Okay.
Oh my God. Well, God, he's on a fucking roll.
Just keep him rolling, man.
Yeah.
That's an SNL skit.
Muscular Grimace. It was.
Muscular Grimace.
And unfortunately, disturbing. That's gonna be your name.
Yep. All right, so I will note that as Rasmus is talking to Erwin, who would generally kind of be giving directions about, oh, yeah, to get to Blinsky's, and I can pull up on a map for future sessions. Like, yeah, you go down this street, and you take the left, and et cetera, et cetera. And Danica's probably just, you know, mulling over with Zephyr and the rest of you, kind of gauging how the night went, probably inquiring about Irina as well. As Erwin's directing you, you do hear the front door to this place kind of slam open.
Rude.
And you see making their way in two of the town guards, one of which you would have noticed from the night before. And if you want to zoom in and look, a very large fellow with a particularly muscular and maybe kind of like pulsing red through the veins, large individual who kind of grumbles to the party. I hear folks entered this place that wanted to speak ill of all being well. Where are they?
I'd like to point out that I said all will be well. We're pro well.
It's probably going to be well.
Well, well, after, well.
After being pro well, that's where we'll cut it off. I would like to start next session with you saying that we are pro well.
We are pro well. I would like that the next session, I don't feel like blowing my own fucking brains out. That would be great.
Well, yeah, you know, we
gotta go to the doctor, man.
And they may come true. This guy's icon looks like one of the pub thugs from Rapunzel.
Is it?
Yeah.
He just needs a hook on his hand and he just needs to play piano.
I mean, I'll give you a brief preview. I'll pull it out of my pictures for the game to kind of show you what that looks like for next session. But that is where we will take our leave this evening for this most recent episode of PZ85 Plays the Curse of Strahd on the Podzilla 1985 network, kind of getting our bearings out from under us after a few week hiatus, and barring catastrophe of any further sort, we will be back next week, right? I think?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, have some.
That's the plan.
Happy anniversary.
Oh yeah, we were talking about this. I just posted something from my notes that I thought you guys would appreciate, by the way, from this session. We were talking about this last night, but it is. We're now past, I think, the 8-year anniversory of Podzilla 1985. It was yesterday, wasn't it, Shannon?
Yeah,
27th. Yeah, March 27th, 2015 was with the day that we uploaded the very, very first episode. So technically we started recording it the day before because we started recording it like 10 o'clock that night.
Yes.
Thinking it would not take all night. And then the next thing you knew, it was 1 o'clock in the morning and we were finally getting done.
Yes.
The first episode was 3 hours long. It was a WrestleMania preview. And ironically, tomorrow we'll have a new WrestleMania preview. WrestleMania 39 is this weekend. Shannon, we have some surprise guests joining us on Pro Wrestling Unscripted tomorrow night.
Yes. Asa Gray, as far as I know, Asa Gray and Dalton Anthony will be joining us to preview WrestleMania. The PW gang's getting back together. Now, I haven't asked them yet, but I assume they're good for it.
They're going to do it. The implication is there.
Otherwise, new special guest star Cody Sandusky will be joining us for Pro Wrestling Unscripted as we preview WrestleMania.
And maybe just anyway. Maybe he'll be a fifth. Yeah. But who's the fifth man?
It's five of them, Hunter.
And then, Justice Payne? Lindsay, what we doing Thursday?
Lindsay, what's a potato hole?
I'm thinking this week's top five is going to be top five upbeat songs that are actually about dark subject matter.
No, the top five is your top five alternate versions of you from other dimensions. You get to design five versions of you. Yeah, but they're different versions of you, stupid. In one dimension, you're happy.
There's only three wolves inside of me. I don't know.
Hunter, there are five voices inside of you. There's the old lady, the gay guy, the Japanese businessman, the biker,
and the
doctor.
And the fake doctor.
Yeah.
This is making me think of the five products that Michael says you can sell in business when he visits on the office. What are they, Cody? There are five products you can make. There are five different kinds of business. It's like commercial, residential, airline. Like, it's just bullshit.
Hey, really quick before we get out of here, where'd Tanner go?
He just disappeared. He said someone was getting sick in his house, which I thought was ironic because I expected you to go, I'm sick right now.
I'm sick right now, you stupid bastard.
Hunter, it's tourism, food service, railroads and sales, and hospitals, manufacturing, and air travel.
Oh, that's one of my favorites.
Two railroad was in there. It's the only thing I could think of.
Railroad was definitely one, yes. And so, yeah, and then I don't know. I'm going to go ahead and assume we're not doing horse time this Friday, given that Shannon's got to be much better in 3 days if we are.
I assume I'll be perfect tomorrow. So, yeah, horse time on Friday.
Horse time Friday. We'll do it right before WrestleMania.
And I have Cape Anime Con this weekend.
Yeah, I'll be watching. Oh, yeah, I'll be watching WrestleMania Night One at work. So we already
on Saturday.
Yeah, we're gonna throw a big party there. No, it's gonna be fun.
Oh, that's cool though. Yeah, that's good.
It's gonna be fun.
And then we're back next week, Cody. Next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday, we're back at it for many questions have to be answered. Where did Brahm and Bray go?
Are they great?
And does everybody love them? And who is this large man with an axe and an arm from Wesker's products at Umbrella Corp? What is he doing here?
Jesse Kimball.
Surprise guest,
Jesse Kimball.
Actually, hold on 1 second before we I'm going to message Jesse, tell him to get in here. We're going to have a really quick appearance by Jesse. Let me see if I can get this to – no, I can't get it to work. I don't care anymore. I've lost interest.
Grand opening, grand closing to
immediately.
That's right. Just
hold on. Maybe I can force him into this one. Let me see.
Thank you. That would be funny.
Oh shit! I can. Hold on. Here we go.
Oh boy.
Hey, it's Jesse Kimball.
Hello, everyone.
Jesse, we're still recording. We're about to cut off the show.
Shots, buddy.
Oh.
What?
What's happening right now?
Where's that nacho truck?
We found him in Mexico, ladies and gentlemen. Coming live to you from his very own taco truck.
Jesse, what the hell is El Jefe doing in Barovia?
I took a wrong turn at Cancun
at Albuquerque.
All right, that's it. Cody, take us out.
Yeah, let's get the fuck out of Barovia. This place sucks.